Hi guys, and welcome to another episode, a brand new one. Call it episode, call it marketing talk, it doesn't really matter. You either listen to it on Spotify, which means you're going to listen to the post-production of this marketing session, or you're actually joining us live. Yeah, that's right. We're going to stream another one live. Live means we're going to talk on different social media platforms. So currently we're live on YouTube, Twitter, which is a new one, and also LinkedIn, which is also a new one. So before we begin, I just want to cover something real quick. I've been talking to a lot of you, whether that's face-to-face or online, you know, just writing online, to a lot of people that actually listen to the podcast. And you guys really keep the pressure up to me. So a lot of you mentioned or asked me why I'm not releasing episodes on a more frequent or more regularly. And, you know, the fact is, it's just life. Life is busy. My business is also busy. So I'm really trying my best to do these sessions more regularly. But yeah, for now, it just means today we're going to be live. We have another one, and I'm super excited about it. So some of you remember that I switched the language of my podcasts somewhere around mid last year. And the main reason, or I switched it from Swiss German to English. And the main reason was because I have so many very interesting people in my network that I want to talk to and also present to you, to everybody that listens to my content. And one of this person is actually going to join me today, and I'm super, super excited. He's a really interesting person. Whenever I talk to him, it's just super inspiring. And yeah, we tried to do this session for quite some time, and today we finally managed to do it. We've been talking in the past already, but always like, you know, sessions on Skype or Zoom or anything without actually recording it. And whatever he says is so, like I said, is interesting and inspiring. So I really wanted to have a proper talk with him for my podcast, so you guys also get to know him and yeah, hopefully learn something. So without further ado, I'm going to bring him in. His name is Andrew Clark. He's joining us today from the UK.
Hey, Maxi.
Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the show. Let's call it the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the big build up. I hope I live up to the to expectations.
You will. I mean, like I said, like whenever I talk to you, it's so interesting. I love talking to you. So I'm sure the next around 30 minutes also gonna be great. So, first of all, how are you? How are you? How are things?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very good. I'm actually just back from holiday. I was in Mauritius for 2 weeks. Was a great trip with my family. I took my father there. He's from Mauritius, and so it was a bit of a trip down memory lane for him. Kind of one for the bucket list for sure.
So it was your first time then?
No, not my first time, but first time in a long time, put it that way. And also for him. So yeah, it was a meaningful trip.
Okay, glad you're here. And yeah, you live in the UK, in London specifically. So that's going to be a first in our show. So we're going to go international now. It's going to be great. So how's London these days? Foggy, yeah. I guess?
Yeah, I mean, London's home. You know, I went for a reasonable amount of time, so I didn't think I would miss it, but I did end up missing it, particularly my bed. There's nothing like sleeping in your own bed. Yeah, London's cool. You know, my friends, my family are here, and it's home.
Okay. Yeah, so I talked about our conversations in the past. I told everybody that it was super interesting. So let's properly introduce you to the audience. Like, who is Andrew Clark?
Right. Who is Andrew Clark? Well, I mean, listen, I am a I'm a marketer like yourself. I started out actually working in finance in the city in London, and I was there for about 5 years, and then I started building a food delivery business that then morphed over time into a digital marketing agency, which we worked together for many years. We were on an incredible journey with that venture, which took us, from the UK to Switzerland to Singapore. And then all of that came to an end in 2021. And since then, I've kind of been taking the time to really reflect on, what happened, during that journey, why we couldn't push through past 10 years and onwards, and kind of the challenges that we faced, and basically just tried to do a lot of reflecting and learning from that experience. And now I've started kind of reshaping my career, and I'm working now with a legal technology company that's trying to break into the UK market. And so that's been a really interesting kind of blank slate type project, which has given me a great opportunity to practice and develop my skills, and basically in an environment where they have no basis for performance, right? So everything that I work on and everything that I do is reflected in the results the business has now in this market. And so there's nowhere to hide, but I'm very grateful for that opportunity, and I'm very grateful for the for the way things are going. Things have been going well, so I'm very very satisfied at the moment professionally.
Interesting. So yeah, we're going to talk about your current your current position or company at a moment. We can also dive into a bit our common history, which is the startup, and people that follow me or know me, they know about it. I don't talk about it too much, also not in this podcast, but it, like I always said, it was a super interesting time also for me. That's how I met you. Obviously you mentioned that. And I'm wondering, like, when you say you, like, in 2021 it all came to an end, but you tried to reflect everything, like, what was your biggest learning from that time? Because just for the people that don't follow the story, it was like a online marketing startup, like a typical startup, like you read about in books. And yeah, I actually left this startup in 2016 or 17 before I started my own business. You kept being there for many more years. So what's your biggest, like, takeaway or learning from these almost 10 years or 8 years?
Yeah, no, it was from 2012 to 2021. So around about 10 years. I knew you were going to ask me that after I provided that introduction. It had been my life's work, 10 years building a business. I mentioned that we pivoted here and there. We started out as a food delivery platform and then moved into website building. And then from there, the business transitioned again when we started providing digital marketing services to small businesses. I'd say that the main takeaways or the main learnings that I did, following that experience, I basically needed to take stock, right? When you go through something, a huge experience like that, and things don't work out, I really needed to take a bit of time to, just to reflect on it and to put it into perspective, and to do whatever learning I could do from try and take the learnings that I could from the experience so that I could move forward. To be honest, the main learnings I took away were one was the type of customers we were going after didn't necessarily provide the business with the base or the strong base and foundation that we'd needed. Secondly, was just about the products and the services that we were offering. We never got to a point where we could reflect, or we couldn't develop the kinds of case studies for the products and services we were offering that we could then use to go out into the market to organically appeal to new business. That was always a challenge that we faced. And I think it's a couple of reasons for that. One was, again, that our target market wasn't quite right. We weren't specific enough about the target market, and we didn't have good enough ideas about why we were going after certain types of customers. And the second thing was just that we lacked in terms of the products and services that we were offering, the benefits that those products and services were generating for our clients were never as good as we would have liked them to be. And I think in combination, those two things meant we were constantly trying to play catch up. And we made a few poor decisions. And I don't think it was because we knew better. I think we just ended up in a situation where we were very much leaning on salespeople to drive the business forward in terms of growth, as opposed to, as I mentioned, just looking internally at the benefits that we're generating for our customers and then trying to create case studies and examples of those benefits to then appeal to the market organically. We became very dependent on individual people within our sales team, and I think that made us a little bit lazy. And in the end, we paid for that in a big way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's really, I mean, also for me, the whole time, the whole experience was super, like, I learned a lot. And also, I think for you, if I remember correctly, because you built a huge expertise in working with a remote team, like people from all over the globe. Also, the people I worked with were spread throughout the world. And if I remember correctly, you went on and worked, after your time at the startup, you worked in something similar, like you wanted to guide other people in building these kind of remote teams, or
I set up a business afterwards where I just kind of connected people within my network to help them pad out their organizations if they needed to, just because I had a lot of remote contacts that could do that. And obviously with COVID, et cetera, a lot of people were looking for remote workers. It became a lot more acceptable for businesses to operate in that way. And one thing that we did at Clio from the beginning was work with remote teams and remote people. The first time that we had a proper office that was populated with members of the team was basically when we took over OmniMedia in Switzerland, and then obviously you joined that team but that was a good 4 years or so after I'd started out at the business. So it really was in our blood working with remote teams. So after that was all done, I helped a few people out, but it was never, I didn't start a recruitment business or anything.
Okay.
Like that.
Well, so I got that wrong a little bit. Yeah. We were ahead of time with COVID happening a couple of years later, and everybody tried to shift towards remote or at least like working from home, all these kind of things. Like when that all started in 2020, I saw a lot of companies really struggling, and I realized that we were doing this maybe 5 years earlier, and companies struggled to make this switch from being in an office to like let your employees work from everywhere, which I guess by now most companies figured it out. Hey, what I remember the most, and I'm curious if you remember that as well, probably not the most, but it was probably the most fun time business-wise. Do you remember our trip to Dublin?
Yes, me and you were trying to break into the Facebook building. Yeah, I
remember. We gotta cover this story, just because when I thought about just before the call, I was like, Dublin was great. We spent there a couple of days at a Google party. Partner, yeah, conference. Let's just call it party. It was for Premier partners back in 2016, somewhere around. They invited to one of their offices in Dublin, and just to give out some awards. But it all was an educational purpose a little bit. So they gave insights about Google, about new products, etc. But at the end, it was just one big party. I specifically remember because they rented out the Temple Bar, which I guess everybody knows. And if you ever go to Dublin, like you have to go to the Temple Bar, right? But these guys, they just completely booked the whole bar for us. Everything was for free. So I remember we had some drinks there. And yeah, please, if you remember, because we weren't just there for party, we were like serious business. We were a startup. We wanted to take over the world. And if you also remember the Facebook story, please tell it to the audience.
Of course. We were Google Premier partner or something like that. Basically, we were a reseller of Google products, and we had a customer base of, I guess, thousands of small businesses. As a marketing agency, we were providing them or reselling Google products to them. So we were invited to Ireland, to Dublin, to their head office. I guess it was ostensibly to, you know, as a congratulations or as a kind of perk for being a premier partner. But then also was the opportunity for them to do, to educate us more about their products, and, you know, with a view to getting us to sell more of their products.
I guess.
And so me and you, we headed out there, but we obviously, Dublin is where a lot of these big tech companies, particularly, technology companies in our space, ad tech companies, are based. I guess it's not a big secret that there are tax incentives for being based in Dublin. So they were, they were all there, we figured that we might as well try and make a connection with Facebook, since they weren't a partner of ours at that time. We just didn't know how to go about it. So we went down to the office, tried to scope it out. We're told that we needed to be invited. So then we headed back to the hotel and just jumped online on LinkedIn, in fact, and just started, hitting people up in our network who, knew people, that knew people that were working at Facebook. And, we managed to get ourselves in, which is great.
To convince one of, like, I don't know, probably 100 people that I sent a message to, and you too. So one, I don't remember his name, but one guy responded and he said, okay, tomorrow at 11, whatever, let's eat something at the complex. And you can tell me whatever is on your heart about what it is that we have to do together. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I would just say, I mean, the idea was simple. Like, look, we sell this much product for Google to our existing customers. We would like to do something similar with you guys. There's obviously some kind of partner program that I guess it was quite, I guess it was relatively early on. It was certainly not as established as Google, but we just wanted to, we thought it would make sense to connect with them and see what options were available for joining their partnership program as well.
To summarize, it was like, it's really, we were young, or at least a little bit younger than now, and we were like wild, and just, we didn't have anything to lose. We were like, we're in Dublin, they are in Dublin. And I remember, because we had some ad spend from all these clients in the UK, Singapore, Switzerland, so we were like, we're not like we felt like we are important to them. Obviously, like our ad spend wasn't that high to have like a partner or an account manager or anything, but we're just like, we didn't have anything to lose. And this is a great story for, you know, just to show that, I don't know, being persistent at some point, like we got the meeting, we were in touch. And by the way, my LinkedIn feed is still like full with people from Facebook posting stuff because I connected with them at that particular time. And we're just like still connected. I don't know them, but yeah, it's a good, I like the story because we got in at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it worked, right? We hustled and we got in. It's quite interesting, you know. Obviously, there was urgency there. We were only in Dublin for a couple of days for this conference. So, you know, it made sense to just do whatever we could to try and get in the Facebook building. And we managed it in the end. And it actually comes to something, you know, it's something that I reflected on. Since things didn't work out with Clio, and, you know, since I've been kind of rethinking or rebuilding in terms of, you know, what I would like to do with my career and how I can support businesses. And definitely, you know, cold outreach is an important, important tool at my disposal and something that I lean on a lot. And that was early days, and I definitely would have changed a few things about our approach, but at the end of the day, it worked out and we managed it just by reaching out to some people. It was very, very cool. Very cool experience.
Absolutely. Nobody's ever taken this story from us, at least. So, let's talk about your current, your current job position. You mentioned a little bit in the introduction. Just give us some more information about what it is that you're doing. Or let me just read that from your LinkedIn profile quickly. You're writing, developing and executing sustainable go-to-market strategies to deliver consistent flows of qualified sales meetings for B2B SaaS companies. Is that what you're doing?
That is what I'm doing. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned before when I did the reflecting on things that hadn't gone to plan with Clio, and, you know, things that I felt that we could have done better. And obviously at the time we didn't know any better, but since that experience, I've been thinking a lot about what we could have done. And genuinely, I think what businesses need to be able to do is to kind of distill the good work that they're doing with existing customers and clients, and then boil that down and match that up with the needs of their ideal customers and, you know, the desires of their ideal customers, and then put that collateral, put that that messaging in front of them, just to start building some kind of dialogue with the market and testing the offer that the business has. And if you do that correctly, if you crack that code, you're able to generate a regular, as I've written in my profile, generate a regular flow of meetings. And meetings are basically the lifeblood of any business. If you have meetings, then it creates urgency within the business. And if it creates that urgency within the business, then everything about what that business stands for has to improve. Suddenly it becomes really important that your onboarding process is, you know, is up to scratch, that your product actually delivers. You know, and I had that experience as well, you know, working with Clio, we were very much focused on the product and internally about, you know, the things that we did. But without that, you know, that link with the market, without that pressure that meeting with potential customers brings, you know, you can get very kind of insular and very focused on what you're doing without letting the market, which at the end of the day is who you're trying to appeal to in order to be a successful business, without having that connection with the market, you can become very insular and yeah, you can lose touch with what the market is looking for, and that can be very costly for your business in the end.
Yeah, interesting, really interesting. What exactly is your position in the company?
So I don't actually have a legitimate job title per se. I approached this business basically to build them a go-to-market plan. For the UK. They're based abroad. They're actually a Singapore-based company, and they were trying to break into the market from scratch. They had worked with a couple of let's call them lead generation agencies, and things just hadn't really worked out as they would have liked. And the way that they were able to grow their business in their home market wasn't replicable in the UK. So really, it was just a blank slate. As I mentioned, they have a product, they have a customer base back home. But they just didn't have the collateral. They didn't have the machine in place to get the collateral about their product and their offering in front of the right types of businesses.
Why was it like so different from Singapore to the UK? Like, what was missing in order to, you know, just repeat what they did so successfully in Singapore?
Well, in Singapore, they'd grown through a network that they had built already. So the founder of the business had built a network of firms, law firms in this case. And then through that network, via completely separate business and separate project, they were then able to develop their product and then sell through that network. And on top of that, the Singapore government provided very generous rebates, etc., for businesses that were looking to modernize. And so it was a bit of a no-brainer for a lot of these firms to upgrade their internal systems, especially considering they would receive rebates from the government. So what they executed in their home market was completely more or less just not relevant to the UK, particularly given the UK is a much more mature market in that space. And so they had very real competition, that had been established, for decades, 20 years or more.
If you say in that space, you're referring to like law firms as well, or?
Yeah, legal technology space. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And also, like, I understand. So then the UK will be like the playground for even more different countries abroad, because like if home is based on the founder's network, and then you can manage to become successful in the UK, which has nothing to do with his network, then you have your blueprint for other countries as well, I guess, because you can't rely on their foundation, right?
Well, that's right. And so I mentioned before about being very dependent on salespeople within an organization and their networks. Mm. And I think that was a very dangerous strategy that we adopted at Clio, because obviously, if that salesperson moves on, you've lost access to that network, right? If the sale is made, based on somebody's relationship, as opposed to based on the value of the product or service that you're offering, it's kind of shaky ground. And being able to build that connection between, a business and its offering and a market, and establishing that connection it's fundamental to that business, so that no matter who's in the business, they can keep generating those sales meetings and potential sales. And the more meetings they have, as I said, the more it forces the entire business to kind of stand up and be counted and improve the way they do things. So yeah, it was just a very, very interesting project for me when I started last year. Basically a blank slate. So I had to just look at the work that they'd already done at home, look at the UK market, figure out who their ideal customers were, who were the people within those businesses that we needed to be reaching out to, and then, you know, distill the good work that they'd been doing back home, and then communicate that that work to those people in a way that, you know, we'd figured out that they would appreciate. So like in the language and with the kinds of expectations and interests that the potential customers had. So yeah, it was a really, really interesting project. And as you say, if you know, we can make that work here, then there's no reason that, you know, we wouldn't be able to do something similar in other markets.
And also for different, like it sounds like you're focusing on your niche right now, which are these legal companies. But if you figure out how to help them, would you also enter different markets or different, like, potential clients? Or
definitely. But again, at the same time, there's value in focusing on a niche, right? And I don't know whether I could, you know, just focus on the legal technology niche. That might be a bit too niche. But certainly, as I've outlined in my LinkedIn profile, you know, B2B software as a service businesses is a niche that I have a lot of experience in. You know, in my previous life with Clio. And then now, it's one I understand, and there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of similarities between these markets and how these businesses operate that would allow me to execute in a similar way, for sure.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I think it all seems a little bit vague. You know, we can get into the detail. I don't know, maybe some other time, if that would be of interest.
When I visit you, hopefully, which will be soon enough. Hey, one last question. Nice. I'm interested because how did become a father change like the whole business, or your whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 5 years now, so I've been a father for a little while. How did it change things?
Like simultaneously on still being like C-level master of disaster at the startup, right? So that's when you became father as well, which
it's an amazing experience just being a father, but in that context of working, you know, obviously it forces you to grow up a lot and to think very critically about what your priorities are and where you're spending your time and how you're spending your time. I keep coming back to it, but when I was reflecting on how things went with Clio and things that we could have done better, I was really just thinking about like what could we have done to materially move the needle in a positive direction. And when you start to think critically about your work and your contribution and what you're doing and how that impacts the business, overall, then it starts to become a lot easier to prioritize. And that's, you know, being a father has helped me to do that because I just don't have as much time, to do every little thing, like I used to. And it's, you know, just forced me to be a lot more disciplined and focused on the things that really matter for the business. That's how I would say it's...
Forces you to make, to also make smarter decisions. Especially because time is.
I think it forced me as well just to be a lot more analytical, a lot more focused on the numbers. So you know, really focused on the output of the work that you're doing, like, and trying to associate that work with numbers and being numbers driven in terms of the end product of the work that you're doing. So just thinking like critically, if I do this, I'll be able to, you know, bring in X amount of clients or X amount of revenue. Whereas if I do this, well, you know, it's just kind of busy work. And you know, I can delegate that or have somebody help me to do that. You know, just making me think instead of just being kind of in it and a bit brain dead about the work on my to-do list, just being very critical and thinking whether I can get support or delegate work and what only I can do making that the important thing on my to-do list.
Yeah, we're already 30 plus minutes in.
No way.
Towards the end. It feels like it's always when I, like I said, when I talk to you, it's so interesting. It felt like 5 minutes, but we're already half an hour in. So I'd say we're going to wrap it up for today. I'm going to let you do a call to action. Like what would you like to happen from the audience? Like should they follow you, on LinkedIn? Definitely connect with him on LinkedIn. You're obviously looking for legal companies in the UK. Not sure if anybody is listening, but
I'd be happy to talk shop with anybody that's trying to grow a business and develop their business. I'm really interested in speaking about markets and understanding your customers and trying to relate to them and figure out what's important to them. That's the kind of make or break type topics and conversations I like to have that I feel really help to move the needle for businesses.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys heard it. Connect with Andrew Clark on LinkedIn. Send him a message, and you know you just learned that he's gonna prioritize. But whenever he has some time, I'm sure he's happy to talk to you as well. So yeah, that's it for this episode, Andrew. Thank you very, very much for joining me today. I know you're a very busy man. I really appreciate it. I wanted to do this for so long. I'm really happy. And yeah, who's to say this was the last time?
No, I hope not. And I appreciate the opportunity, Maxu. Great chatting to you.
Yeah, thank you. And for everybody who joined either one of the live streams, thank you for joining in. And if you listen to this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, thank you as well for tuning in. I really appreciate you guys. Just write me a message if you have questions. If you can't find Andrew on social media, yeah, just find me and write me. I'm happy to connect you guys. Or if you don't follow me, please go ahead and click those fancy buttons. Thank you very much for tuning in, and see you next time.